Hi there and welcome along to another workout for you to row along to. Now today we're down to that low intensity workout again. And to be honest, I was thinking of different ways to try and make this work, but the truth is 30 minutes, 20 strokes a minute, 5 out of 10 effort, 2K plus 18 to 20, just low intensity is the best way to do it. So that's what we are going to do today. Now, we're going to get into a 4-minute warm-up before we even start today's workout, and that means we have to set up our machines. On an Averon, that means setting your resistance to wherever you want it to be. If you're using a Concept 2 in the Averon app, I want you to set your drag factor to wherever you would normally have it set. The guide for both of you is that I want it to be kind of enough of a resistance that you can feel connected to the machine, but not so much that you have to heave and like lurch your back in order to get it to move. Find somewhere that's comfortable and that you can work through a workout like this and keep that low intensity nice and low. Next up, let's move to the foot straps, and what you're looking for is to set them to a height where you're able to come into the front of the machine with your shins in a vertical position comfortably. If you're set too high, it can get difficult to get there. If you're set too low, you can go past and your backside escapes from underneath you. A good guide here is that the strap covers the balls of your feet, which is often the bottom lace of your shoe. Slightly different in Converse because the way they're shaped, but yeah, it's round about that. All right, and then you can sit there and you can adjust as time moves on. So 4-minute warm-up we're going to get into, 20 strokes a minute, a light intensity to start, just connecting your feet to your hands. Hope that makes sense. I will explain more when we get started. Let's get going then in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we're off. So for the first minute, all you want to do is work on getting your body moving and feeling the force starting to move through your body. And so that means pushing with your feet at the same time your hands connect to the machine. At the same time, you feel that kind of bite into whatever makes your machine go. And if you get that timing right of pushing as the connection happens, then what should result is that you feel the force from your leg or legs travel through your body into your hands, and then you brace against the handle. And that's how the power gets from your legs into the handle. And then you just adjust how much you push with your legs to adjust your speed. So what to do now then is push a little bit harder and find an intensity that you would describe as 5 out of 10 effort, bearing in mind 1 out of 10 effort is sitting on a couch watching Netflix. So 5 is low intensity. It's like walking upstairs or walking up a hill. You know that you are moving, you're exercising, but it's not tough. Your heart rate is increasing, your breathing rate is increasing, but it does not feel like hard work. And then with this intensity, you can make sure that you are tilting forwards as you come into the front of the machine, and then swinging backwards at the back of the machine. But we're going to practice that for the next few minutes as we do some drills. So take one foot out, put it on the ground, and continue rowing. Now with only one leg strapped in, it's easier to get into full compression, shins vertical, at the front of the stroke, and then you push out with that leg. But it's also easier to work on your posture as you tilt forwards to the front and backwards. Let's swap feet, strap them up, take them out, keep going. Because it's hard to do this if you have a slumped, collapsed posture. You can't quite get into it. It's almost like you worry that your shin's gonna whack off the foot plate if you do this with a bad posture. So it's a good little hack to get you into that tilt forwards and backwards. One more here. Let's put the foot back in, strap him up, legs straight, and row with your back and arms. So swing over your back, pull in your arms, release your arms, and then rock forwards again. And even if you're just concentrating here on the hip rock and not really worrying about your arms. And that's important. Out of the two things here, I'd rather you focused on the hip rock. Excuse me, big cough. Let's roll into the front, forced tilt, straight arms, and push out with your legs. So push, push. Keep those arms straight this time and hold that forward tilt. So this time you are not rocking your hips. I want you to hold that forward tilt, work on the timing between legs and arms. Let's take one more here. And we're all done with today's warm up. So keep on moving up and down the rail, have a quick drink, and I'll explain one more time what it is we're doing today. Okay then, so today's row is very simple. It's just gonna be a 30 minute low intensity row at 20 strokes a minute. Pretty much pace-wise what you were doing in the second minute of that warm-up, okay? So I really want to make sure that you keep this down low, all right? I'll talk to you about all this stuff in the main row. There's no point in me talking about it now, but that's the point. Nice and low intensity for 30 minutes, okay? Right, let's get started then if you are ready and you've had a drink. So we're gonna get going in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're off. So remember, 20 strokes a minute. Maybe take the first minute or so to settle into your stroke rate. As always, you can just follow me. Drive when I drive. Recover when I recover. And that'll hopefully give you a head start when it comes to holding your stroke rate. And do notice that it's a proper, powerful whoosh through that first second as I drive through the stroke here. So properly pushing into the stroke, and the brace against the handle as the power goes into the machine is what makes the drive last as long as 1 second. It's almost like the resistance of the machine is slowing me down in order to make the stroke last 1 second through the drive phase. And then by taking my time, smoothly releasing the handle, then rocking over my hips before bending my knees, I can make the recovery last 2 seconds. So 1 second drive, 2 seconds recovery, 3 seconds per stroke, 20 strokes a minute. And hopefully, as we get to 2 minutes into this workout, if you were starting off by mirroring me, you've now found your own rhythm and you're flowing through the stroke yourself. And hopefully it's like, it'll just become like meditation where you find your flow and then you can kind of drift away. And don't worry, I won't be offended if you drift away from what I'm talking about. If I end up just white noise keeping you company for 30 minutes. It's perfectly fine by me. As long as you get through your 30 minute row, you keep it at a low intensity, and you feel you've had a good workout, it doesn't matter whether you've been hanging on my every word or not. And with that in mind, I have to apologize for my rather colourful get-up today. Light blue t-shirt, bright orange shorts, and red shoes. It's like I got dressed in the dark. But then I also realised that I'm not shaved in a couple of days, so maybe my slightly garish appearance will distract from my very disheveled appearance. I do like rowing in Converse though. It's been quite a long time since I've had these on for a row. It was the row a few sessions back when I was wearing my Spider-Man Vans that made me think, oh, I've not been in my Converse for a while. Actually, I had no intention about talking about this today or this early. But I'll talk technique in a while, okay? But just find your groove. Remember, hip rock, push of the legs, good posture. I'll talk about my shoes first. Give you a chance to get properly warmed up. I get asked quite a lot what the right shoes are to wear when rowing. And there isn't really an answer, because there's different things to look at. Like, if I travel for a race, I'll row in socks, partly because I feel I get a better connection to the foot plate, but also I don't want to be hundreds of miles away or 3 hours into a flight and suddenly panic because I've left my favorite shoes at home. Nor do I want to go to the gym and then feel I can't put in the right workout because I don't have the right rowing shoes with me. And actually, I used to row pretty much exclusively in socks or bare feet, but ever since I started racing in Hyrox, which is a whole bunch of running and then functional exercises, including a row, as I have to wear shoes in Hyrox, that's why I started wearing shoes again in most of my rowing. But that's about me, it's not about you. So what should you be looking for? First and foremost, you want to pick shoes that will sit comfortably in the heel cups of the rowing machine. So I've got a pair of Saucony running shoes that the heel kind of ends in a point, and it's really wobbly, let's say, to row with them. I've worn them a couple of times in this Zero to Hero series, and I just don't get on well with them. That's why you haven't seen them since. So there's that, and then obviously there's comfort in terms of width and flexibility. Make sure that you're actually comfortable in them. And then the question comes down to, like, heel rise and whether they are cushioned or not. And if you go on any rowing forum, people will tell you not to wear spongy cushioned shoes, because that cushioning will soak up some of the power that you're putting into the machine, which is true enough. You have to compress that foam a tiny bit before the power gets into the machine, but really you're only looking at like 1 or 2 watts lost. And I will side track here for a second. I used to be a cyclist, proper middle-aged man in Lycra, hooning about on my bike around the Scottish hills, great time, apart from when it rained. And it's Scotland, so it rains a lot. Anyway, I was in bike shop once, and the guy in front of me was discussing with the shop owner whether to buy Model A or Model B of a gear hanger. Tiny little piece of aluminium that at best will weigh like 30 grams. And one of them was 5 grams lighter, but £20 more expensive. And he was saying, oh, I think I really should get this because it's 5 grams lighter. However, he was a large fella. I'm trying to be polite about it, but let's just say, I'm not the kind of guy who really looks good in Lycra. And so, I'm trying not to be judgmental here. Everyone's allowed to have their own body shape. But the point I'm making is that he was about to spend £20, that's like $25, if I'm gonna go into dollars, on a bit of kit that was 5 grams lighter, when really, a couple of weeks not drinking beer or eating biscuits and burgers, he'd have lost a lot more than that 5 grams. So sometimes you need to look at what you're doing rather than trying to buy your way into better performance. So coming back to rowing, at my stage anyway, if I was looking at my shoes and thinking, oh, if I bought £100 worth of weightlifting shoes, I will save myself 2 watts of energy, which will make me row faster. At this stage, just working harder and more sensibly in my rowing, I'm gonna get a much higher increase than 1 or 2 watts of power. If I was an Olympic rower chasing the 2K world record, and I was like 0.2 seconds shy of it with every attempt, yet I was just wearing a pair of Nike running shoes, then maybe I would investigate all aspects for marginal gains to get that 1 or 2 tenths of a second. So what I'm saying is that shoes are important for comfort, but don't stress too much right now about whether they have a cushioned sole or not. Can you believe I just spoke about it for like 4-5 minutes? Just about whether to get flat soles or cushioned soles or not. And that's the other thing then, is the flat sole thing. So these Converse have a flat sole, which means that my heels make contact with the foot plate a little bit later than if I was wearing like basketball shoes with a big cushioned heel. And you'd think that would be a bad thing, but actually that kind of almost delay means I know I have to drive my heels, push into the foot plates in a much more deliberate manner, rather than if they were really raised heels, then having a very lazy push that isn't quite putting the power forcefully into the machine. So like I said at the beginning here, that 1 second drive, you need to still power into the machine. I mean, no matter what machine you're using, when you drive, what you're looking for is that whoosh, that acceleration as you go. If you're just getting like a whoosh, there's no real acceleration to your stroke, then you're not powering, pushing, accelerating the force into the machine. So sometimes, I'm not saying it's going to be shoes that's the culprit, but what you want is to make sure that things aren't getting in the way, let's say, of you putting the power into the machine. Because a rowing machine is amazing. The workout it can give you, I don't think you can match it with any other piece of fitness equipment out there. And so what you have to understand is that this piece of kit will do nothing for you. It won't work your body without you putting the work into it. Whether that's a low intensity row like we're doing right now, or the tempo rows like the previous row, or the max intensity like the Tabata, you need to learn how you put the power into the machine. And that's kind of leads me to a rant about people who get in touch and say, I can row 20 strokes a minute, but nowhere near the pace of the person next to me. And that's not the point of a rowing machine. It's not like a spin bike where the RPM and the speed are always linked. So like if you can get it up to 100 RPM, it doesn't matter whether you are high resistance or low resistance, you will be going at the same pace. It's not the same on a rowing machine. Here, I can row 20 strokes a minute at a really gentle, like 3 minutes 15 per 500 meters. Or I can absolutely hammer it like this. And that was me right up to 139 pace, but it was still at 20 strokes a minute. And that's because I was putting the power into the machine. I wasn't responding to resistance of the machine, if you get what I mean. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Oh, right, come back, John. You've left us. You're just talking about stuff. Listen, we're, what's this, row 28 of the Zero to Hero series? I mean, we've got quite far, where I have been quite on point talking technique and motivation. Don't think I've really had these massive diversions yet. Just you wait until I get started on dinner plans. In fact, what is today? Today's a Thursday for me. In fact, oh no, I have said it, that Fridays are the most important day in my week when it comes to food, because we always have spaghetti bolognese. Whereas Thursday is basically scavenge hunt day, where there's no plan for any of us in the house for what we'll eat. Basically, it's just look through the cupboards, look through the freezer, and then choose what you want. I mean, you're not allowed to have ice cream or like chocolate for dinner. It still has to be proper food. And it's not like I'm saying this with empty cupboards. The cupboards are filled with like soup and like Holly, my youngest, she loves baked beans and pork sausages, like a can from Heinz. She'd eat that all the time if she could. And then the freezer's filled with like when we make spaghetti bolognese, we'll make a whole batch and then freeze individual servings for moments like this. And it's the same if we make chili or pasta bake or macaroni cheese. Oh, actually, Saturday night past, I made my special mac and cheese, which has like five different kinds of cheese in it. Rigatoni pasta and smoky bacon in it, with then breadcrumbs scattered across the top. But that's lovely. And I remember having an extra portion to put in the freezer. Maybe I'll have that tonight. Sorry. I mean, when you think about it, I said, oh, it's not that often I go into a flight of diversion. I didn't intend to then get further away. Listen, you know how to get in touch. Facebook groups or Instagram or email. If you'd rather, I just kept on point and just taught technique for every row. You know I'm happy to, but I do get the feeling that would get a bit dull if that's all I ever spoke about. That said, let's talk technique. We've got 8 minutes to go in today's row, so even though I'm hoping that you've kept this at a nice low intensity, between us being over 22 minutes in, and maybe it's still a bit of an ask for you to row like consistently without a break and a little wiggle of your backside to release the pressure, then sometimes your technique can get a little ragged, let's say, frayed around the edges. And usually it's a combination of posture and the backswing from a technique point of view that starts to fall apart. Yes, you might reduce the push from your legs as you get tired, but often it's a kind of a slumped, rolled, soggy posture that starts to creep in, combined with an early backswing. So As you finish your stroke and pull the handle into your chest, the handle should release instantly. Nice straight arms, smoothly and instantly. And then as your arms come away and you feel everything kind of rise as your arms come forwards, I want you to also rise out of your backwards lean. So you finish leaning back to like a 11 o'clock angle on a clock face with your core braced. But rather than just curling your upper body forwards from that position, you want to rise and tilt out of that position so that you are now tilting forwards, hinging over your hips to a 1 o'clock position on the clock face. And as you do so, you should feel your sit bones connect with the seat. Now, it's a good time to say, it can often help to make sure that you are sitting more forwards on the seat than back on the seat. The rowing seat isn't here for you to lounge and have a good time. So you're not sitting at the back, all slumped. If anything, you want to be more perched at the front of the seat. Because if nothing else, if you're at the back, you can start to really crush your hamstrings and your glutes. Especially if you then add in a bad posture, which if you're sitting at the back, it can kind of promote. So, like I say, if anything, sit slightly forwards on the seat, and that will help with this up and forwards tilt. Your arms are already straight, and so by the time your hands are past your knees, you're in that forwards tilt, and all you have to do is bend your knees in order to return to the front of the machine. So you're not tugging in the foot straps. This is one of these things that if you find your foot straps are coming loose, then the reason for that is that you're tugging on them. And you don't need to. Both at the back of the drive, if you get all of your leg drive into the machine and you swing over your back, pull in your arms, then the momentum of your body going backwards should be what is putting power into the handle and into the machine, so that as you come to a finish with legs down, there's very little momentum sending you backwards. And if you have a good posture, all you have to do is brace your core to stop at the back of the machine. And if nothing else, this is how you get a great ab workout when rowing, is your posture. So you tilt forwards into the front and brace your core as you push your legs into the machine. So that activates your core here. And then at the back of the stroke, you then brace to soak up any of the momentum still left at the back of the stroke. And then that stabilizes you. Hands away, rock forwards. And then as you slide, that's when you relax your core. Ready for the next stroke. Whereas if you're all slumped and rolled and curled, your abs aren't getting in on the game at all. And I keep writing articles about how rowing can potentially use like 85% of the muscles in your body, but only when you do it right. If you aren't in a good posture, you're going to be missing not only your core, but your back and possibly even your legs. And especially if you pull early from the front instead of keeping arms straight, or swing your upper body too soon, that's when you lose your leg power or your back power and actually have a much weaker pull with your arms. You think it's better pulling from the front, but it's much better to brace pull in terms of a workout. And we're all done. 30 minutes, crikey. Right, let's keep on rowing lightly. You know, just row lightly just to make sure you cool down a little bit. Sorry, I was just gonna say, when I got to like the 22 minute mark, I was like, right, it's 8 minutes to go. I'll talk technique. I wonder if I can stretch it out for the full 8 minutes, because I really shouldn't go into a big diversion at the end. And actually, I ran out of time by the end there. I had to kind of rush the info about backswing and arm pull, because I was too busy talking about posture and stuff. A lot of it is just literally because I'm trying to think of ways that I can explain this stuff to hopefully unlock in you a way for you to go, right, now I get it. Because there's loads of people that get in touch with videos and say, I watch your stuff and I listen to your technique, and so I'm just sending this as a checkup just to make sure that I'm not doing it like that badly and whatever. And you're like, you said you've been watching my videos. What ones? Because it's not coming in there. It's like people swinging and pulling too soon from the front. I'm like, when have I ever said that? Feel free to send me a video of you rowing. I'm very polite, even when I'm kind of like, huh, what? I'm still very polite. I'll tell you how amazing you are, and then I'll tell you what the flaws are in your stroke. Right, I'm gonna stop. Oh, right, you know what? I love these rows, and I'm not gonna apologize for them. I mean, I know sometimes I try and explain them and try and sell them to you or whatever. Oh, it's your arm. But I'm not gonna apologize for them. A 30 minute low intensity row, it's just amazing, the stuff it does for you, just in terms of your technique and your fitness, your mitochondria building, all that stuff. It's gold dust. I mean, you could just do that row all the time for your entire life and you'll have all of the fitness benefits and everything that comes with it. Yes, you might have to work a little bit on top end power if you're doing races and things, but that row, if you just sat down and did that every day, you'll live forever. Well, you will live forever. I mean, emails. I think you'll find I did that every day and I lived to be 105, but eventually I did die. Dear Mr. Rowalong, I'm unhappy because... Sorry. Ah, dearie me. Right, okay. This is, you know, before I started making stuff for Averon and I'd just made the YouTube videos and whatever, this is what I was like the whole time. So you should be thankful that we're on row 28 and only now have I really kind of... like this little parachute of professionalism has just left out of that ear and hit the ground. So, but you know what? It entertains me. I find myself amusing, so I carry on making the videos. You can just press mute at this point. You're just going to go, oh God, he's still talking. Mute. Just do some light rowing and some stretching. And that's what you want to do. You want to make sure and stretch, drink, eat, all that stuff after today's row. Remember, I've got stretching and cool down videos up here that you can follow along with, and I'll take you through stuff. So yes, you can do that as well, right? So I'm trying to claw this back into professional, you see. So thank you very much for joining me for this one. I do hope you enjoyed it. To be honest, I do hope you enjoy this stuff. I almost swore then. The stuff that I talk about during these rows. I really do hope that it's kind of like, you're kind of like, oh, just bobbing along, rowing and whatever. Because a row like this, you just need company, all right? the Tabatas and the tempo rows, you maybe need a little bit more motivation, let's keep going and or whatever that stuff. But something like this, you just need to entertain for half an hour. And yes, me talking about shoes probably isn't entertaining, but that white noise in your ear is probably, hopefully, enough to get you through the row, all right? So the last thing to talk about then is the hashtag to leave if you've done this one. And I think, quite frankly, it has to be professional, because that's what I am. Is I'm a sure a thoroughbred professional when it comes to this stuff. So hashtag professional. I might even misspell it just on purpose. Look, I'm just tickled myself. Yeah, so post that if you're going to do any of the socials just to say you got to the end and leave whatever abuse you want. Because I do find myself funny. Nobody else does. Yeah, and I will see you in the next row. Until then, do check out any of the other rows I've got up here. I hope you enjoy them. Look after yourselves. And yeah, until the next time, take care, be well. Bye-bye.